on reef and the fruits of rebirth of East African Union. The spirits that out there for the Jesus growth. Enter the champion, this the union sustains.
The Lord's Resistance Army, a guerrilla force operating mainly in northern Uganda, has been engaged in armed rebellion for the past 20 years. The village of Patongo has been one of the hardest hit by the war, so when filmmakers Sean and Andrea Nix-Fine heard that the Patongo Primary School had qualified for the national music competition for the first year, they wondered how the children were able to do something like that in the midst of so much turmoil. Their new film, War Dance, won the Documentary Directing Award at Sundance, and it is opening this Friday at the Angelica and the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Sean and Andrea Fine to the show today. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, thanks for having us on.
Now, the Lord's Resistance Army has been accused of widespread human rights violations. Mutilation, torture, rape, the abduction of civilians, the use of child soldiers, number of massacres. Do these children live in fear of being abducted by the LRA?
Yeah, these children live in fear of being abducted almost every day. Hourly, they live in fear of that.
Have any of them been abducted?
Yeah, there's one little boy in our film who was abducted. His name's Dominic. He's a beautiful xylophone player, and he was abducted and forced to do some pretty horrific things when he was abducted.
Actually, he's one of the stars of the story, even if he hadn't been abducted. We've talked a lot about the LRA on the show in the past. It's led by Joseph Kony, who proclaims himself a spirit medium and apparently wishes to establish a state based on the Ten Commandments and a Toli tradition. What about the people who live in Patongo? Aren't many of them also members of the Toli tribe?
That's what's so irrational about the whole thing, and it's very hard. We get asked all the time, like, well, why did this war start and why is it ending? And it's like, well, how much time do you have? I mean, it's a very confusing situation. Initially, the conflict has started out of, like, tribal tensions north and south. And, you know, what happens with south is still peaceful, remains peaceful. And because Kony himself is a Choli, when he started turning the tactics on his own people, many people in the south are like, I don't know what they're doing. Let them, if they're killing him, themselves, let them, you know, we don't understand. Let them just go for it, you know, because there's not a lot of empathy or connection. And it's been going on so long, it's very sad about how it's really terrorized these people for so long.
But a truce it was signed. Is the war still continues despite the fact?
Yeah, the truce is it hasn't really been signed yet. I mean, they're in peace negotiations. They've been in peace negotiations for a year and a half. When we talk to the children, and that's really what our film is about, it's the children and their experience and their voice. When we talk to them, they don't feel safe yet. The kids, the people in the village, they don't feel safe yet.
Well, this village is a small village. It was a trading center, several thousand people, and now suddenly is over 40,000 people or so. Because
60,000.
Because it become a refugee camp as much as a village?
Yeah, and it's just one of many camps up there. I mean, you know, it's over 1.5 million to, I think, 2 million Acholis that live in camps. They're totally trapped, and they live in the most beautiful area. You see that in our film. Our film is really is sort of the contrast, what you see is sort of striking. And making the film, we felt the same way. It's, you have such squalor and misery in some level, but it's also in the heart of that are these amazing kids who are so transformed by the music. You also have a village which is trying to survive in this camp, and it's surrounded by amazing farmland, beautiful areas that they cannot access. They're not allowed to leave, and they are scared to leave because the military can't protect them.
So they live a kilometer or two away from their own homes, but they can't ever go back to their own homes. And that's something you deal with in the film.
Yeah, they're prisoners in their own country. I mean, they're prisoners in their own country. They cannot access the beauty. They cannot access their old homes. You know, 60,000 people are stuck in an area where one of our characters said 10 families used to live in. So it's massive overcrowding, and they're stuck. And the fact that they can find hope in this situation was what was so inspiring to us.
Because many of these kids have also been orphaned, haven't they?
Yeah, many have lost their parents because of the war. Many have seen unspeakable, brutal things, yet they still dance, they still smile, they still want to compete in this music competition.
Well, how did you hear about the competition? Was that what got you started, or was it thinking about this terrible situation in northern Uganda?
It's a really interesting story. We got a call from a nonprofit group called Shine Global. They asked us to Would you be interested in doing a documentary about northern Uganda? And we said, well, what's going on in northern Uganda? We were really embarrassed when we actually looked into it.
You don't listen to this show, obviously.
And then we live in D.C. Right?
And that's even more surprising to us.
That's,
I mean,
that's really sad.
So it's very telling to us that we didn't know about this. And so we thought, you know, we have to do something about this. And we actually learned about the music competition on a scout when we were there. And we had 3 weeks to start filming it and start filming.
And the competition is in the capital city, Kampala.
It is. It's in the capital city, and it begins every year. Over 20,000 schools compete, and then there are semifinals and finals, and then at the end, there are 40 schools that compete for this championship.
And I think what's really important is that for people to understand, these kids, you know, most were born in this camp. Very few have ever seen life outside of that. So this is another planet to them. And it's so amazing to watch them. It was such a beautiful experience when we were putting the film together to watch these kids experience. And one character says it perfectly. Nancy, she says, I want to see what peace looks like. And when these kids, after you think about what they've seen and experienced, when they come into Kampala, it's
the
like
a big city.
Oh, it's like there's skyscrapers and cars, and there's not people standing around with guns, and they see airplanes and people walking comfortably. And there's just, you watch them sleep after the first night. They're there for 3 days, and you watch them sleep, and there's something so beautiful about the way they look when they sleep. They looked so calm, actually, that night. And that was really one of the touching sort of images left of that.
And that's what audiences have been responding to. It hasn't just been like, this is a film with a music competition in it. Audiences have really been responding to the fact that they get to watch kids go on this journey that have never seen a peaceful place and be with them on that journey.
And we also see what they've come from. I'll get to that in a moment. My guests are Sean and Andrea Nix-Fine, who co-directed War Dance, which won the Documentary Directing Award at Sundance, opens this Friday at the Angelica and Lincoln Plaza Cinemas. And you are co-directors, although you did this long distance?
Yeah, we had to do this film long distance because at the time our son was just under a year old. And so Andrea and I made the decision to split up. You don't want to have two parents in a war zone, in a very dangerous war zone. So
and was it dangerous?
Yeah, it was extremely. It's an extremely dangerous place. There's danger all around you. But I think the more important part is that it is dangerous for me, but I get to leave. Those kids have to stay there all the time with this danger. And there's a danger in the air. I mean, if you take a kid 5 minutes outside of that camp, we had this experience, the kids just start shaking uncontrollably. They want to get back. They get so terrified.
And Andrea, how did you direct the film living in Washington, D.C.?
Well, what we tried to do was sort of figure out how we were going to work together. Even, you know, how could I be in the field and not be in the field at the same time? So, you know, actually, there is a bar of cell phone reception. Sean could get it on his cell phone in the camp, and he had to kind of crawl up top of, like, the tallest structure in the camp, which is actually the brothel that he was calling me from every night. And we would just review because, as we said, the music competition and the story really got thrown together at us of what we wanted to do right when in the midst of filming. So we were, you know, Sean had to deal with the conditions of the camp. He got malaria while he was there. It was very difficult to film in there. At the same time, I could think of, like, how are we going to tell this story? You know, we wanted to do something very different. We wanted to have the kids be the voices of the story. When you watch this film, there's no narrators. There's no policy experts. It's all through their own experience.
But you have to get the kids to agree to do that. Were they all willing? I would assume they were suspicious of you at first.
They are suspicious, but it's the way that we work. We work first without the camera. We try and build a relationship. We try and build a trust. And what's interesting is once the kids started to see us, you know, it wasn't just all the characters came to us at once. Once they started to see what we were doing, different kids came out of the woodwork and said, you know, I'd like to tell you my story. They found us, in essence.
And some of these stories are really just so emotionally powerful. Nancy's and Dominic's. We see Dominic confronting a captured rebel leader, somebody who, he had been victimized by the rebels.
Yeah, it was a chance for him for the very first time to be able to, the reason he's there, he's trying to find his brother who was also abducted with him at the same time. And Dominic was able to escape. He never saw his brother again, and his brother was being brutally treated at the time. So when he found out there was a rebel commander that was captured, he wanted to take the opportunity to be able to find out if there was anything he could learn. But while he was asking about his brother, he was also able to ask him, why do you do such things? And the answer is so touching because it's very much like I was given orders. And when you see that scene, you know, it's basically if Dominic had not escaped, he was talking to himself in a way. It's very, you know, had he not been, he would be going through the same thing that the commander.
And the courage, to watch the courage of this little boy sitting next to an ex-rebel commander, asking this rebel commander, you know, why do you do what you do? Why do you abduct children? I mean, the strength that little boy has is amazing. We couldn't believe he asked that when we got back and translated it.
You also followed Nancy into the bush to visit her father's grave.
Yeah, that was her. Nancy's father was brutally murdered by the rebels, and her mother was forced to bury pieces of her father in a grave by the rebels. And it's the first time Nancy ever goes to see her father at the gravesite, and it's a very, very emotional scene between her. It's very personal, very emotional between her and her mother.
Do you ever wonder whether you might have to turn off a camera at a time like that?
That was a very difficult scene for me to film. It's probably the first time in my career that I've actually had to ask myself. I was sitting there, it was like two halves of me, you know, saying, okay, turn the camera off, keep the camera on. But I think it's important that we keep the camera on.
Now, we also see them go through all of the rehearsals in preparation for the big meet, the competition. I'm not going to reveal how well they did, because that's part of the excitement of the film. But when they got there, after going through all of this, these sacrifices, because they're doing this under the worst of conditions, how did the other children at the competition relate to them?
It was really interesting. When the kids got to the competition, the other kids from the South were calling the kids from Patongo murderers. They were calling them Joseph Kony. They were calling them rebels. And, you know,
just to get under their skin?
To get under their skin. It's a very competitive competition. It's like the Final Four championships here in the U.S., so it's very competitive. But I also think kids resort to that kind of name-calling when they don't know what's going on, when they don't understand what's going on.
You must have been worried that they might crumble under the pressure, because I'm not sure these kids could handle that.
I mean, to be honest, we didn't think they would do well. We didn't think that wasn't what we were there to follow. And we did feel pretty bad for them when they would tell us these stories of what was going on. But I actually think it fueled them to do better. I think they wanted to prove everybody wrong. They kept saying to us, we want to prove that we can do good things. And I mean, time and time again, they would say that. And that kind of fueled them. I mean, every day they'd tell us, kids are making fun of us, but then you'd see them perform that much better.
And I think that's so important because they want to be seen as something other than victims. And that's really what led us to make the film in such a way and have that such a strong statement, is that these kids are much more than what somebody did to them. They have dreams of their own. They have ambitions. And that's really what this film is about. It's that we set out to tell a very human story because these kids wanted to be heard. One of the reasons we chose this film and chose the area where these films, that these are voices that would never be heard. And so what are the odds of a child soldier to be able, you know, has gone through something, to be able to tell you, this is what I want to be when I grow up. It's like they really wanted to get their stories out.
Well, they also wanted to find some sense of normalcy in a totally abnormal situation. And that's the thing I think that audiences connect to the most. Because we know that people live in these terrible situations, but we really don't understand how they get through. And sometimes they get through by simply finding ways to have normal lives.
And I think also sometimes we tend to clump all those types of people together because we're used to the images and news stories of them all being really big downers and really just focusing on the horror, but not on the aspect of how they get through it. And so we felt that it was really important to show the other side of these kids.
Now, how do they survive? 90% to 95% of the population in northern Uganda now lives in these overcrowded camps. That means they're not doing the farming and all the other things that sustained them in the past. Are they just simply living on UN handouts?
Pretty much, yeah. They're living
NGOs?
On UN handouts. Yeah, NGOs. And some of them are going back to some farming closer to the camps as peace talks go on, but they basically live on World Food Program handouts.
And that's also something that inspired us to do this. I mean, why take on a very dangerous film when we're first-time parents was that we really sat and tried to figure out, could we do this safely, and also can we help the situation a little bit there? And what's wonderful about this film is just by buying a ticket, since a portion of the proceeds go back to NGOs working on the ground, you're actually helping, and you're taking a little bit of action, spreading the word, getting more people to see it, does the same thing.
And you can see the film starting this Friday at the Angelica and Lincoln Plaza Cinemas. It's called War Dance, and my great thanks to its creators, Sean and Andrea Nix Fine, for being on our show today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Rebirth of East African Union.